Kumlan and Avlak Gemara. We are up to the Ayin Hay and Beis, the very bottom of the page. And we can, rules that we have about Pesach, we extrapolate from there regarding other things, and we'll come back to Pesach. So we have an argument of Rav and Shmuel. Itma, we learned, Cham letoy cham. If something hot, hot meat, falls into hot milk, Divrei Hakol, there's no dispute. Also, it is forbidden, right? Because it's made basa b'cholov, a tray from kosher. Tzeinu letoy tzeinu, if something cold falls into something cold, and Divrei Hakol mutter, everyone holds, they don't blend, and if anything, just rinse it off, and that's it. What about cham letoy tzeinu? Something hot, hot meat falls into cold milk. Or tzeinu letoy cham, or cold milk falls into hot meat. So which is the dominant influence here? Is it the one on the bottom or the one on top? Rav omad ilogover. The primary, or the dominant player here is the one on top. So the top is hot. It becomes asur, because it heats up the bottom. And if the bottom is hot, and the top is cold, then the top will cool the bottom down, and it doesn't become asur. However, Shmuel says, tator gover. The main thing is the tator. The whatever's on the bottom, that's the main influence. So tonight, let's now refer back to our Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah, what happens if not taf, if it dripped down, from the gravy of the Korban Pesach landed ala chedes on the clay oven, right? And now the gravy is hot, but it became hotter from the oven. So it's no longer, this gravy is no longer tzli eish. Only it's also influenced by the oven, and then the chazar elav, then it jumps back up. It jumps back up. The din is that yitol mekaymei. The din is that since now that this gravy is no good, it's disqualified from Korban Pesach because it's heated up by an oven, you have to remove the entire area of the lamb where that gravy land came back flying up. Now, kasal kedatach, we assume right now, becheret zinenes, the oven is cold, and the lamb is hot. So if the lamb falls down in the oven, we're saying that it heated up the oven, and then in turn, that gravy went flying back up. So we see that ilah gavar, that whatever's on top is the main influence. Mishlem that avdam ilah gavar, that whatever's on top is the main influence. You have to remove whatever it is that the gravy landed. Okay, that makes sense. The ozel reitim mirasele the chedes could reitim, the gravy fell down and heated up the oven. The chedes, and then afterwards the chedes went ahead and made the reitim. So the clay, the oven, then heated up the gravy, so it's no longer tzliyesh. The reitim of Pesach, kamati Pesach, and then if the reitim jumps back up to the lamb, it's now roasting the Pesach machmas chamimusa the chedes, that it's being heated up in addition by the heat of this oven, and Berachman Amatayda stresses tzli eish, it has to be roasted by fire, nothing else. But loisli machmor davaracha, not from other influences. Elish modam to togav, Shmuel says that's a togav in the bottom, so the oven is cold. If the oven is cold, then on the contrary, the oven cooled down the gravy, and therefore nothing happened. It cheddes, keep it in turn, it says cold. Akuri mekele leroit, if it cooled down the gravy, amayit los mekremer, so when it flies back up, why do we say, oh, the gravy was heated up by the oven? No, it didn't. Because according to Shmuel, itatoga, whatever was on the bottom is the main influence, and it was a cold oven. Therefore, it cooled the gravy down. It didn't heat the gravy up. Answers the Gemara, Kedamar Abiyim, Rabbi Shmuel. Abiyim said the name of Shmuel, which we'll see in the next piece. B'sayilet Sosachas, on the next piece of Gemara, he's going to say that it was talking about that the land in a flour that was hot. Hochanami b'cheres seseh. Who told you that the oven was cold? We're talking about an oven that's hot. And therefore, tator gover, when this gravy lands on the oven floor, the oven now, because it is hot, it is a dominant influence, it'll heat up the gravy further, and now the gravy has been heated up by an oven. And when it then jumps back onto the lamb, it's no longer tzli eish. Okay, next question. Tadam, we learned in our Mishnah, what happens, merit for ala seilis, it falls from the fats directly onto fine flour. So now the fine flour gets all heated up, and you have their hot gravy. So the gravy now is yikmai, says mekaymai. Now what you have to do, you have to remove all the flour where the gravy is sitting. Kosal kadatach, we think right now, but say this, the flour generally is cold. Flour is cold, and it don't normally heat up flour, so the flour is cold. So what's the drama here? So the gravy fell on the flour, the gravy was heated up by fire, and it's part of the Korban Pesach, so you eat with flour. What's the big deal? Must be, he says, Bishleim, of course, that makes sense. No, Madi, Log, Gover. So what happened is, the gravy landed on the flour, the gravy is the dominant influence here, so the flour now got heated up, and then the flour, in turn, heats up the gravy further, so now the gravy is no longer tzli eish, it's also tzli soilus. Therefore, it makes sense why you have to remove the whole area, wherever gravy is there, pervaded the flour. The marteach le'lusaylus, because the gravy heated up the flour. The hodr ha'darne, that it heated up the whole area around there. The hodr ha'lusaylus, then in turn, the flour, then now that it's hot, heats up the gravy. And it's heating up the gravy. So what you have now is a case of the gravy getting hot because of the flour. The Torah says, tzli eish, it should be heated up by fire, but not through something else. Elo the Shmuel, according to Shmuel, the Amorah says, Shmuel said the main thing is that it influences the bottom, and we're assuming that the flour is cold. So on the contrary, the flour cooled down, chilled the gravy. So what's the issue? So the, any any heat that's in the gravy is from the lamb, is from the tzliyesh from previously. Shmuel says the main thing is the bottom. So you list the flour. Keeping it, and it's cold. Akurikomekele actually cools down the gravy. Lama liyikma says kaima. Why do you have to actually remove the entire place? What for? Says Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu. Rabbi Yirmiyahu says. Amar Shmuel. You said the name of Shmuel. This is what he said before, that Besoyler Sachas, talking about it's very hot. It's very hot. Let's think about it further. Tanami learned. We're continuing working our way through the Mishnah, trying to understand anything. The next clause in our Mishnah was that Sochoy Beshemin, if you smeared oil on top of the lamb, what's wrong with that? Nothing. But the oil happens to be from Truma. So, im chabudas kainim, so if the group of people who registered on this carbon were kainim, then yechul, then they can proceed to eat it, could allow to eat Truma. But im shel Yisrael, but if it's a Yisrael, it's a problem because you have oil or Truma. So, im chayu, if the Pesach is raw, yadichen, oil is rinsed off. But im tzliyu, but if, let's say, that it's roasted and made the meat more tender, it absorbs from that oil, then yiklef esachitz, and you have to peel off the surface. The oil would have penetrated a little bit in the surface, you have to peel off the surface. Now, bishleim l'rav d'amar ilogava, the main influence is above. So the oil, which is on top, is cold, and therefore, even though the lime is warm, the main thing is the oil on top. That's why it doesn't penetrate. That's why it doesn't really penetrate. It's sufficient just to peel off. From the law, because the oil is cold, it's fine. It makes sense. The Shmuel says that the lamb is hot. If the lamb is hot, it would have heated up the oil. If the heat of the oil, then in turn, the oil would have permeated the lamb much further than just the surface. Kivan the chamu, since it's hot, the oil now mivlebala, it'll get absorbed into the lamb. Amai sagile beklipa, why are you telling me it's enough just peeling it? Nitzale gamri, maybe it pervades the entire Korban Pesach, and all of it should be cold. Says the Gemara, shiny sicha, that smearing is different. Why is it different? The mashu ba'almu sicha. How much oil do you put on already when you just smear? You coat a little bit of oil there. It's only a very very faint film, a very thin film. Davida, since it's such a small amount, even if it gets warm, there's very little that it can penetrate because there's so little oil. Now the Gemara says, so till now we were asking all of these questions on Shmuel. Now the Gemara says, Tanya, Kavasi Shmuel, we actually have a Braisa that supports Shmuel. It says in the Braisa, Cham l'teicham, if something hot falls on something hot, also is forbidden. So hot and hot, obviously something hot tray falls on something kosher, it is forbidden. So if something cold falls inside something hot, also. So what is he clear from here? On the bottom is something hot, on top is something cold, if something cold falls on something hot, it becomes also. But the other way around, the converse, cham l'tertzeinen, something hot that falls inside something cold, or tzeinen l'tertzeinen, something cold that falls inside something cold, then madiach, all you have to do is rinse it. So it's clear from here that something hot falls inside something cold, it doesn't permeate oil through, all you have to do is wash it, because it doesn't, because tator gover. The main influence was on the bottom. Now, l'chayde, cham l'tertzeinen madiach, if something hot falls in the cold, you have to rinse. Kivan the chamu. So the Gemara's question is: since it's something hot, even if you want to say that it doesn't totally penetrate, add the makele. Takes a short while till it cools down. In the meantime, you have something hot sitting there and something cold. It's impossible that the thing on the bottom, even though it's cold, didn't absorb something. It takes a few minutes before the cold has its influence over something hot. Meanwhile, the thing on top is hot. It's penetrating a little bit. Why do you say just rinse it? We should at least request, or you should insist that it has to be peeling on the peeling off, because a little bit of the iser on the top, while it was hot, must have penetrated into the whatever the item is on the bottom. So you're right. Ela Emo, why don't we read it? That chama tetzen, hot for the cold. Koilif, you actually need klipa. You actually have to peel off because something did penetrate. But when do we say that all you have to do is rinsing if it's cold and cold? But hot and cold, it's more than just rinsing. It's, we say that a little bit of penetrated. Yeah, then we're further. Tani Yidah, who's another nice boss, will say, hot meat, you know, the cold will say, if hot meat fell into cold milk, into hot milk. The chen tzayin of the cham, if something cold fell into something hot, let's say cold milk fell into hot meat, then also, because whatever's on the bottom is the dominant player. Cham litertzen, but something hot fell into something cold, or tzayin litertzen, so cold and cold, madiach, you just rinse it out. So again, we see hot inside cold. We say the dominant player is what's on the bottom. It's cold, it's not a problem. But over here it says madiach. Again, it says rinsing. In the same question we had before, rinsing is not is insufficient because while it's cooling down, it's still hot, and it would have penetrated whatever's on the bottom. We'll see in a minute. Come to explain and madiach. How can you say rinsing? Given the chamu, it's hot. Ademekele, while it's cooling down, it's impossible to lebala purta, it didn't absorb something. Klipa mean the boy let at least require that you have to peel. If something hot fell inside something cold, then klif, you have to have klifa, you have to at least peel it off. But saying so hadacha is if cold tray falls into cold kosher, all you have to do is rinse both of them off. But if something hot tray falls inside something hot on top of something the hot something cold that is kosher, then we don't say the entire thing is treif. You don't even need a chishim. All you need is what? The klifa. You have to remove that. You have to remove that klifa. Maybe you have to peel it. Says the Gemara, Amma, we learned before, tzayin madiach. We said the cold and cold is never an issue, right? Two cold things, one kosher, one treif, is never an issue. All you do is rinse it off. The Gemara says, it's not so simple. Sometimes even cold can penetrate. When is that? Amma, when the Lashon is talking about Elish Lemolcha, if you didn't salt it. Abba Molcha. If you salted it, usher salt has this capacity that it causes the juices inside to travel outside. It causes movement. So therefore, if you salted whatever it was, that's, let's say, treif, something salted is as if it was heated up. When you heat something up, whatever is inside, the liquids move about and they ooze out. Same thing if you salt something, it oozes out. And therefore, if you have something treif and something kosher next to each other, they all become treif. Says the Gemara further, kovish, if it's marinated, hareyakim avushal. Something's marinated is as if also it's cooked. If something is lying, something there, and it's marinated, something, even though it's cold, if it sits there long enough, we say that what? That it becomes, it's as if it was cooked. As if it was cooked. And we have a machlekes if it's just overnight or 24 hours, but kovish is kimavushal. Says the Gemara as well. So therefore, if something treif is sitting inside something kosher, it traveled around and became and everything became also. Says the Gemara. Oh my, Rav says Rav. Hold on, Shmuel. This is Shmuel says. This is Shmuel says that salting is like cooking. The Amr is talking about how much salt are we talking about? You put a ton of salt in there to preserve it, and the way it is right now is inedible. You have to rinse off the salt. So there's a ton of salt there. That's when we say that it causes movement. If you salt something like you normally salt something when you want to eat, you salt your salad, whatever it is, then it does not have the capacity to move things about, and it's not a problem. But other, yeah. And Rashi said, when we say shalenecha machal mocha, it doesn't mean it's completely inedible. We're talking about that it's still edible, but nevertheless, it's not as good as if it was without the salt, because the salt was very, very heavy. That's called Einu Nechad Machas Mochin. That's sufficient to say that it's Asa. Says Yimala story, Yahuba Goizla. There was once a case with a pigeon, the Nofel, the Kada, the Kamcha fell inside a barrel of Kamcha. We had Kamcha a number of times. That's a very heavy, you know, you have the milk, the way of the milk, and you have moldy bread, and you have salt in there, so it's very salty. And what happened was, it's milk, but what happened was that a pigeon fell inside. Everything was cold. Shadye Rav Chinna, even though it's salty, Rav Chinna permitted Bereya the Rava mit Pashrunya. Rav Chinna, the son of Rava Pashrunya, which we have a number of times, permitted it. Omar Rava says, Rava, man chakim lemisha milsa kihai, who is intelligent enough and has the broad shoulders to go ahead and say that the pigeon fell into this kumcha that had, that had salt in it and everything else, and yet it's not an issue whatsoever, even though it's a pigeon that fleshes and it's a milchix, and not a problem. Who's the one who says that? He says, must be Ilav Rav Chinna Brei de Rav Pashrunya. Had it not been for Rav Chinna, the son of Rav Pashrunya, the Gavra Rabbi, he's a great man. he's a great man. And therefore, he understands the laws and he understands the complexities. And therefore, when he makes matzah, he's mekel, he knows exactly what he's talking about. In fact, it agrees with what the Rav said at the top of the page because it's not so salty. And he explains. When you say that something is salty, it is hot. He says, if it's cooked, it has to be a lot of salt. That's not really easy to be eaten. But here, the kamcha, that's how you make it, and that's how you eat it. So therefore, the salt there is nechel. That's not salty enough to say it's treated as if it was cooked. Then he says, when do we say all this? When you say that it's cold and nothing gets absorbed, if it's raw. But let's say it was already roasted. When you roast something, the meat became a lot more tender. Then, even though it's cold, boy, klifa. Then you need to peel it. So, for example, if the pigeon fell into the kamcha and it was not raw, but it was actually a roasted pigeon, then it would have absorbed some of the milk inside, and you'd have had to peel that pigeon. Because something would have entered. So a little bit would have entered inside, and therefore you have to peel it. And when do we say that it's enough to have klipa elder lesbian pili, there are no cracks inside them? Avil isbet pili without cracks inside them. Then usher much further. Because we say that what? That it penetrated and it went all the way inside. The emit tova betavla, and if this pigeon also was very well seasoned, so what does the seasoning do? The seasoning actually tenderizes the meat. So therefore, the pigeon now will absorb the milk inside. Usher is forbidden. Omar Rav says Rav. On top of that, ayin vav and bay is the top line. Rav says basar shchuta. What happens if you have kosher meat? Shaming, that's fatty. Now, this is an interesting discussion here, which again touches on the laws of Yeridaya, of kashrus, and that is obviously in a meaty oven, you're not allowed to have milchiks there. What happens if you have an oven and you have milchiks and fleishiks being baked at the same time? They're not touching each other. And the only thing that we have here is that the fragrance from the meat and travels throughout the oven and it penetrates the milk, whatever you're making there, milchiks, and vice versa. The milchiks travels to the meat. And the question is whether fragrance is an issue in kashrus or not. Do we only talk about tangible things like liquids oozing out from one to the next, or even reich is also an issue? I'm going to have an argument. So here's the case. You have basar shchuta, you have kosher meat shamei, that is fatty. Shetzole that you roasted in basar nevela kochush with meat of a non-kosher animal that is lean. So there's no real fat there. And they're not touching each other. The only issue here is that the fatty meat is traveling to the non-fatty meat, and it goes into the non-fatty meat and perhaps fattens it up or juices up a little bit the lean meat as well. And then the lean meat produces some of its own fragrance, and that then travels across to the kosher meat. And the issue is reyach milsi hinat? Is reyach a problem or not? what is it? So he says, usher is forbidden. My time of why? Mefat me'madoti. They fatten each other up. And then what you have is that you have the reyach, the fragrance, the aroma, that goes, travels from one to the next. The Levi says, when it comes to the laws of kashrus, the only thing we're concerned about is something that's tangible, that something that you can touch, not just smell. So fragrance, aroma is not an issue. And therefore, it's only if you can touch, like the gravies are oozing out and they mix. But over here, all it is, you have the aroma of the fleishiks going into the milchiks, that's not an issue. Leibama says, I feel the basar shchuta kochosh, even the other way around. Even, let's say, the kosher meat is lean, shetzolei im basar nevela shamin, and you roast it together in the same oven at the same time with non-kosher fatty meat. So definitely there's a strong aroma there of the fatty meat. Mutter is permitted. My time. Why? Recha ba'almehu. It's something which is not tangible. It's only a reyach. V'recha la'milsi. And in the laws of kashus, of course you shouldn't be doing this, but if you did it, it's not, we're talking about all, everything we're talking about is b'di'evit. You did this already. Of course you're not allowed to do it at the same time. But if you did it, it is kosher. Ovid Levi Uvda, Levi himself, went ahead and did this, and a story that happened. What happened was, Beit Reish Galusa, in the house of the Reish Galusa, it seemed that they baked in the oven at the same time, you know, kosher meat and non-kosher meat. Bigdi v'dabar acher. They had over there a goat, and then they had a chazer. What were they thinking? I have no idea. But in the house of the Reish Galusa, in the oven, they were roasting a kosher animal, and they were roasting pork. And they came to him and asked, what do we do now? They didn't touch each other or anything else. And Levi ruled that it's all right. Once you did it, it's all right. You should never do it again, but once you did it, it's all right. Okay, mate, so I'll ask you a question. So you tell me aroma doesn't count. It says, ain't tzaylin shnei psachim ke'echad. It says clearly in the Braisa, you do not roast two psachim, two korm pesach in the oven simultaneously, mipnea taruvus, because they mix up. And right now we're understanding what's the problem. My love, taruvus timing. What are we talking about? We're talking about the aroma. They're not touching each other, obviously. But we're talking about that the reyach travels from one pesach to the other. And we know when it comes to the korm pesach, the only people who are entitled to eat it are those who are nominated or registered on this particular pesach. But in the pesach on the right, you have some of the flavors or the reyach of the pesach on the left, which you didn't nominate for. And that's the problem. So don't we see clearly from here that reyach is an issue? The kasha Levi, a question of Levi that says reyach lav milsi, that reyach doesn't count. Says, you misunderstood. Loi mipnei taruv is gufin. You're missing wrong. Mipnei taruv is gufin. We're worried that you might mix up which carbon is which. The one on the right and the one on the left, and you thought the one on the right, and you forgot and you thought the one on the left. We're scared that you're going to mix up and you're going to end up eating the wrong animal. The animal that belonged to the other group. That's the problem. In fact, I'll prove it to you. Nothing to do with flavors and aroma. It has more to do with mixing up the animals themselves. I'll prove it to you. Hachin amistabim, can't say, but the Braisa continues and it says, afilu gidi v'tleh, even if one pesach was a goat and one pesach was a sheep, so you can't really mix the two up. And nevertheless, we're still worried, don't do it at the same time. Now, if it's a question of aroma, what's the afilu if one is a goat and one is a sheep? So what? If the aroma is a problem, it's a problem. Either whether it's a goat or a sheep. So, yeah, I'm explaining the goof. And if they tell me that you're scared you're going to mix up the animals, here's a less likely chance to mix it up because you'll remember yours is a goat and theirs is a sheep or vice versa, a lamb. And so, therefore, it's not really a problem. Therefore, the chiddush is, nevertheless, we're concerned. Even if it's a goat and even if it's a lamb. Eli Am, if you can tell me, maybe not over time, if you can tell me the problem is that you're mixing up the taste, malig divetle, malig divedi, then what's the difference if it's a goat and a goat or a goat and a lamb? If we're worried about the flavor, the travel, the aroma that travels from one animal to the next, it's a problem regardless whether it's a goat and a sheep or two lambs or whatever it is, or two goats, makes no difference. So therefore, this on the contrary, this explains Levi and supports Levi. So you must have news. On the contrary, from here is a question on Rav. Elamai al kochach. So what do you tell me? If we have no choice but to learn that it was good for you. It must be that the problem here is going to mix up the two animals. That's the only problem. Abel teru timing, but we're not concerned at all about the fact that the aroma travels from one animal to the next. Shadi lame but have you? On the contrary, this is a question on Rav. Rav said that reyach is a big problem. We're worried about the aroma traveling from one to the next. Clearly for me, the only concern is that you mix up the animals. Omer Abimi answered, Hocha b'mayeski, no, Rav will defend himself, and he will say, you know what we're talking about over here? Kigoyin should solu b'shtek datus. We're talking about over here where the aroma is not an issue. And the only issue here is that you might mix up the animals. How is it possible that reyach is not an issue? Because they're both sitting in separate pots, so there's no traveling reyach. Says the Gemara, pots, you're supposed to roast it, not cook it. B'shtek datus al-kadat, what are you doing? You're putting them in pots, in pans? Ele'ein l'sei ke'ein shtek datus. What happened was you're roasting two different korm pesach in a large oven, and you treat it as if it's two separate cooking. How do you do that? You have each on different side of the oven, and you made a wall, a partition in between. You took the coal and you put them all along, right in between, as a partition between the two sides. So now they're totally separate. There's no way that the reyach travels from one side to the other side. So you would think, says Rav, even according to me, it shouldn't be an issue. There is still an issue that you might forget which one is yours. You might think yours was on the right, and then actually yours was on the left. This is what the Braisa is saying. Ain't to defend myself. I don't want you to roast two korn pesach at the same time in an oven. Because you might mix them up. My taruvus timing. So first he says, if there just generally there's no partition between them, I got a problem that the aroma travels from one to the next. But then the Braise continues. Afilu ke'ein shtek deiros, even if you treat them like two separate entities, we have a wall, a partition of coal in between the two. The leka taruv is timing, there's no issue here of any aroma traveling from one to the next. Usher, it is still forbidden. Why? Because taruv is gufin, because you're going to mix up the two bodies, you're going to mix up which is yours. Even if one is a goat and one is a lamb, and the chances are that you're not going to make a mistake, still, we don't want to put yourself into that situation. Amar Rav Mori, says Rav Mori, Kitanoi, comes when Rav Mori says, that in fact, this is a machlekes of Tanoim. This argument of Rav and Levi, whether Reich Milsi here or not, is actually an argument of Tanoim. What's the story? It says in the following, Roi de Pas Chan, if somebody takes hot bread, he takes hot bread and he places on top of a barrel of wine, and the wine is truma. Now, if you're not a kohen, and the question is, can you eat that bread? Do we say that the bread absorbed some of that truma, you know, the fragrance of the wine in the bread? Now, we're talking about fragrance here. So you're talking about just the aroma, which is only reich. You're not touching or anything else. Is Rameyeh says, no, you cannot eat the bread, because since the bread is hot, it absorbed some of that aroma of the wine, and it's truma. You're not allowed to. So clearly Rameyeh holds that reich is an issue. Rabbi Yehuda Mat, Rabbi Yehuda says, permitted, sounds like Rabbi Yehuda says, Reyach is not an issue, no problem, eat the bread, there's no truma there. And Rabbi Yehuda says, depends. Mat, if it's made out of wheat, he says, no problem, you can eat it because it doesn't really absorb. But made out of barley, it absorbs much more, it's forbidden. Because the barley draws out the fragrance of the wine. My love, so what do we see clearly from here? Tanoi, that this issue of whether Reich is an issue or not is an argument of Tanoi. The Ma'asava, one of them holds Reich Halam Milsi. Rabbi Yehuda says Reich is not an issue, eat the bread. Or Ma'asava, another two hold Reich Milsi. Says what are you right? Little Levi, according to Levi, that says that Reich is not an issue, there's no question, Rameir argues with him. Vada Tanoi, surely Rameir, who says you're not allowed to eat the bread, it's only because of the Reich of the wine. So obviously Rameir holds that Reich is an issue. But Lerav, Rav can tell you, name a Tanoi, you're asking me, according to Rav, whether there's also an argument to name. Rav can tell you, Kuli Amar Reich Milsi. Everyone agrees that Reich is an issue. But, so how do we understand Rabbi Yehuda? Why is he lenient? Lavit Mer Allah, didn't we learn that he, on that case, Amar Rav Achon Rish Lakish, Bepas Chama, if the bread was hot, the Chavit Psucha, and the barrel was open, Divrei Hakol Asur, everyone agrees it's Asur. Even Rabbi Yehuda would say that the bread absorbed the aroma of the wine, there's Truma inside the bread, and it's Asur, because Reicha Milsi. Bepas Tzenenes, if the bread is cold, the Chavit Meguf, and there's a lid on top of the barrel, there's nothing to talk about. Divrei Hakol Mutar, even though the wine is Truma, there's no issue here. How in the world would the aroma of the wine escape and enter the bread? Lo Nechuk, when they're arguing, Bepas Chami, of hot bread, the chavis chasuna. You have hot bread on the one hand, but there's a lid. Can the reyach of the wine pass through the lid onto the bread? So what happens is, yeah, the chavis passed in and is, or you have cold bread, the chavis when the barrel's open. What about cold bread? Does cold bread also absorb some of that reyach? V'honami kepascham v'chavis psuchadamia. So here it's like hot bread and an open barrel. So therefore, that's the argument over here. That's the case over here. You're talking about, in this Bryce, they're talking about is hot bread, and there's a lid, and the argument is whether it absorbs or doesn't absorb. But if there'd be no lid, everyone agrees Reach is a mil. So that's how Rav would learn. Tony Rav Kahana, Bre Rav Chinna Rav Kahana, the son of Rav Chinna, the old man, said, talking about Reach, pass bread. Offer, this is the basis for a very important halach in the Gemara, which we learn from right here. If you have bread, offer that you bake im tzli, if you bake bread with meat at the same time, betana in the oven, and they're not touching each other whatsoever. So the question is, this bread, does it become flatex or not? They're not touching each other. And let's say that the grate, whatever it is, even is not, you know, you put it on top of aluminum foil, there's not, you know, there's no problem here as touching the meat. The only problem here is perhaps there's a reach coming from the meat onto the bread and so on. So he says here, you bake you're not allowed to eat that bread with milk. You're not allowed to eat that bread with milk. why? Because we say the bread absorbs some of the meat. And it cannot be dipped in the meat. It can be eaten. Says the Gemara. There was a fish. That they roasted bahadi bisa. They roasted fish together with meat in the oven at the same time. Now it seems the Gemara right now is following Rav that says that aroma is a big issue, but according to Levi, it wouldn't be a problem with this bread dipping in milk because even though it was roasted together with meat, it's not a problem. However, I told you before, Levi's din is only b'di'evid. L'chatchila, Levi agrees we shouldn't aroma is an issue l'chatchila, and if you ask a Rav or Shaila, tell you don't do it. So we're talking about here l'chatchila. You want to bake bread in the oven in order to eat with milchiks while you have a fleishig of meat there. You can't do that because l'chatchila is a problem. If you did it and you did it in milk, nothing you can crave. But l'chatchila is definitely a problem. Says the Gemara further. So this fish that was roasted with meat, Osro and Pazika Lemechle, because her Rava from Pazika said, you're not allowed to eat with milk. Mar Barav Ashi said that this fish that was grilled in the oven together with meat, forget about the problem of eating milchiks together with that fish. Afilu b'milchanami asura. He says that even with pariv, let's say just with salt, it is forbidden. You know why? He says because it's bad. Because of the odor, the meat in the fish, but much more than that, l'davar acher, it can cause leprosy. This is the source that we do not eat meat and fish together, because it says right here, if you bake fish together with meat, you shouldn't eat that fish, because it causes leprosy. As a result of that, we don't eat fish and milk and meat in the same plate, the same cutlery, we wash them in between, because it's kosher l'davar acher. It can cause, l'davar acher here is leprosy.
Where is the word leprosy?
Davar acher. Interesting. You know, I don't know if in Yiddish, for example, now probably things are different, but whenever they describe a very bad sickness, let's say you talk about cancer, they never would call it cancer. They would say yena machla, that sickness. Now, where does that come from? It's from right here. The Gemara didn't want to talk about tzaras. Tzaras, then leprosy was a terrible, terrible disease and there was no cure for it. And it was quite rampant. So they wouldn't name it by its name. They would just say, Davar Acher. We had in Gemara Pesachim of Gimel and Aleph that you have to speak Lashon HaKi in a very refined way of describing things. So that's how they would call it. Rashi says, Davar Acher is tzaras, leprosy. Anyway, so this is the basis that we don't eat meat and fish together, same culture. Actually, there are some people who are very machmed, they don't even have the same pot for fish and meat. They wouldn't cook meat in the pot that eats fish. But that isn't halacha anywhere. That's just a custom by some people. Says the Gemara from the next Mishnah. We learned before that there are certain karbanos you could bring on Shabbos and also even the tummy. The Karban Pesach, most people, tummy, you still bring it. Says the Mishnah, five things. They come betumah, ve'en in the cholim betumah. But even though we allow you to bring these karbanos when most people are tummy, but you're not allowed to eat them. And what are they? Let's say the carbon oimer, you bring the second day of Pesach, which enables everybody to eat from the new crop. If everyone is tummy, we'll still bring it, but nobody can eat it. So to the shtei lechem, the two loaves of bread that we bring on Shavuos, together with the lambs. You bring those two loaves of bread, and that enables you to start bringing wheat to the mizbeach, the new crop. But if everyone is tummy, you bring it, but nobody eats it. The lechem haponim, same thing applies to the lechem haponim, the show bread they did every Shabbos. Again, you still bring it if everyone's tummy, but nobody eats it. B'zivchei shal metzibah, the kabban is to do with yamtiv, for example, on Shavuos. You bring the sheep together with the bread. So that's a shlamim, and that's a communal shlamim. If everybody's tummy, you bring it, but nobody eats it. B'se'idish chadoshim, the goats, they bring everybody's chadosh, the karmachatas, that as well. That you, if everyone is tummy, you bring it, but nobody eats it. But ha-pesach, the exception is the karm pesach. Shebo b'tumah, if majority of people are tummy, you bring it. But nechel b'tumah, they can also eat it. Because the whole purpose of the Karban Pesach is basically to eat it. So if we suspend the laws of Tumah, we allow you to do what? To eat it. All the other things have other purposes. The eating is like a benefit, or you're eating it from Hashem as a reward. But over here, that's what the purpose is, to eat it. Says he went further. Chamishul Mutamai, you say five. We can count it's five. But telling us it's five, obviously trying to exclude something. Lemute, what do you come to exclude? Chagigah's Chamisha Asa, the carbon Chagigah, the first day of Yom Tov Pesach, which we call it the 15th day Chagigah, in contrast to the Erev Pesach, which is called the 14th day Chagigah. That Chagigah, if most people are Tamei, you cannot, you don't bring it up. And why not? Could just like we don't bring a Shabbos either. Satan, I would have thought, keeping the carbon, but since it's a communal carbon, now why is it called a communal carbon if every person individually brings it? Because if everyone individually does it, but we bring it all at the same time, it's treated as if it's a communal carbon. We discussed it last time. Ukvi le'moyed has a fixed time. The first day of Yom Tov, I would have thought, just like that titche tumah, that it should push away tumah, kamashalon, comes to tell you, just like it does not push away Shabbos, nor does it push away tumah. And why not? Because the law is, if you cannot bring it, if you didn't bring it the first day, you can bring the second, the third. You have 7 days to bring it. There are days you can make up. The make up days. So therefore, ledache Shabbos doesn't push away Shabbos. Umed Shabbos ledache, if it doesn't push away Shabbos, ledache tumah, doesn't push tumah either. Says the Gemara of Nisni Nami, why don't you mention Se'ide de Golem? Every Yom Tov you bring a carbon. Why don't you mention also Se'ide de Golem, those kabanas, the goat that you bring every single Yom Tov? Says the Gemara. When it says here the kabbonis of shlamim that you bring for the community, which was shavuos, we didn't mean only shavuos, we meant any carbon you bring on any yom tov. So why do you highlight the goat of Rosh Chodesh? You're already including the seir of yom tov, which is, you know, a chatas, so include also the seir of Rosh Chodesh. Why do you have to itemize that? The ton of zivcha sham tzibah, why isn't that included in the zvachim of the kabbonis of the communal kabbonis? As the Gemara, Amri will tell you, Se'idei Rosh Chodeshim Itzchad, there's a chiddush regarding Rosh Chodesh. Sal kedatme, I would have thought, Halei kasebu humayid, I would have thought, the whole vart is, why do we bring it on Shabbos or Tomei? Because in Mayid, it has to be in fixed time. But when it comes to Rosh Chodesh, we don't find Rosh Chodesh is called Yom Tov. And therefore, it's not a Mayid. So if it falls out on Shabbos, or, for example, if you're Tomei, maybe don't bring it. Kamash melon, the Rosh Chodesh ikre Mayid, Rosh Chodesh also called Mayid. Where do you find Rosh Chodesh called Yom Tov? Rabbi says that the year when the Meraglim came back was Tisha B'Av. So it says here they were away for 40 days. So he says over here that Tammuz, the Abishter deliberately made Tammuz 30 days so that they come back, the Meraglim came back on the 8th day of Av, and they cried that night was Tisha B'Av. Hashem wanted that the day he chose for all the tzaras to happen was Tisha B'Av. It's not the pshat, because they cried on Tisha B'Av, therefore we have all the tzaras on Tisha B'Av. It's as if that day at Tisha B'Av, the Chatchila, was nominated to be a day of tzaras for Yidden. So the Abishter made that when the Meraglim came back happened to coincide with Tisha B'Av. And how did he do that? By adding a day to Tammuz, making it a 30-day month, so when they came back was 8th day of Av, so the 9th day of Av coincided with those events, and so what? So Abayi said, Tammuz the high shasa, the Tammuz of that year, Melui Melui, was a full month, 30 days. See what it says. It says in the Pasuk, Koralai Moyed, I called it a Yom Tov. Well, no, it was a fixed time. Why? Lishboy Bachurai, so I can destroy my young people. In other words, the Abishter wanted, he knew it was going to happen. Everything was predestined, but he wanted it to land. For whatever reason, he wanted to be on Tisha B'Av. But we see that what? Karalai Moed is referring to Rosh Chodesh. He made the Rosh Chodesh a longer month, and he called it Moed. So we see Rosh Chodesh called Moed. They were called Moed. So therefore, if that's a Chiddush in Mishnah, Rosh Chodesh also is called Moed, and if everybody's tummy, you still bring the carbon. Okay, we'll stop over here.